So as everyone is finding their way back to their seats, I just like to say we have a few things to give out this morning that at the end I'll remind you of again. I know, right? They're having a good time this morning. That's awesome. But we do. We have some Christmas treats for everybody to enjoy. The little bags up here on the front. The two with the green bows have sugar-free items in them. I know we had one person who would be grateful for that, so if there are more, there's another sugar-free gift bag. But Gracie also brought fruit to share with everyone, so please take it home with you. She said she cannot eat it all herself. So take some fruit, take some little treat bags. We made enough for everybody to have one, especially the kids. And this is one of my favorite parts of Christmas, is getting to give and receive and just celebrate together the birth of Christ. And I'm not normally a very nostalgic person. Like, it's just not part of my character. You know how some people are really sentimental or nostalgic about things? But there are certain times of year or certain moments that I know we've all felt or remember that we remember the good old days. We think about those times that we've had and that have passed, and sometimes they can be a little painful, right, to think about, that we won't get to experience that again. Sometimes it's because of a smell. We'll smell something that will remind us of, like, I always think of chocolate chip cookies whenever I think of Christmas, or a location that brings back a memory of someone who we've lost, maybe, or we drive by a place that we haven't visited in a long time, and we get together with family and friends to reminisce. We had a big party at our house yesterday for Ella, and it was just a good time of reminiscing with family. And Christmas, to me, is one of those moments. And as I was thinking about the word nostalgia, you guys know me, I love words, I love knowing where they came from. The word nostalgia is a weird word, right? It actually comes from the Greek, it means nostos, which is returning home, and algos, which is pain. Returning home and pain. And it's funny, because I never really associated the kind of hurt that comes with nostalgia, but it is kind of like that. Whenever we think about the places and people that we might have not be able to see anymore. And holidays that come around every year provide us this space to remember. And sometimes it's a great remembering, isn't it? It's a wonderful, comforting thing. I know people who start Christmas preparations right after Halloween, that they're so excited about celebrating it. But then others of us, we almost don't look forward to those holidays because we know they're not going to be the same as they were. And so there can be a pain that comes with it. But the good thing is that we remember it, whether it brings us joy or it brings us that aching for something that once was. So guess who came up with the idea of yearly festivals and holidays? The pilgrims. Great guess, but no. God. God came up with the idea of yearly festivals and holidays. How do we know that? From the Bible. He knew from the beginning that we are people who are very prone to forgetting. We forget things very easily unless we have reminders through the year to remind us of the important things. Because the thing about remembering was when it comes to God, he wants us to remember what really matters because he wants it to influence how we live now and what's going to happen in the future. He wants to point us towards that hope. And we've been reading together as a church family, Esther 10, or Esther, for the past 10 weeks. And we're actually in Esther 9 and 10 today. I'm not going to read all of chapters 9 and 10 today because I really want to focus in on one part. Because there's something important that happens as we read Esther 9 and 10 that is unified with the Christmas season that we celebrate together. Okay? So just think about Christmas as we're reading these verses. I'm going to start in Esther 9:20. The verses will be on the screen, or you can look them up in your Bible if you would like. Verse 20. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes near and far. And if you'll remember, these events are that the Jews have been saved by Queen Esther and Mordecai, who worked together to expose an enemy. Haman was his name. And what's interesting is when the Jews read this still, by the way, every year, the children are given noisemakers. And every time the name Haman is said, they do the noisemakers because it said that his name would be blotted out. And so even when his name is said, they blot out his name because he was an enemy of God and his people. Verse 21, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration, he wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents. You guys noticing something here? Feasting, joy, and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. So Adar would be equivalent, by the way, to our April or end of February, beginning of March. That's where it falls each year for the Jews. So it wasn't Christmas time, what we would consider it. It's called Purim. That's what they call it. And in Jerusalem, it's celebrated on the 14th day of Adar. And outside of Jerusalem, it's celebrated on the 15th to represent that the word came first to the Jews and then spread out among the fancy word, diaspora, people who lived outside of Jerusalem who were Jewish. The cool part is fasting is prohibited. You are not allowed to fast on this holiday. You must feast, which I just love. I love that that was one part of it. And they're also required to give a portion of what they have to the poor. There's even, they have to give to at least two people who have less than they have. And I was kind of shocked about the similarities between our Christmas festivities and Purim, the giving of gifts, the joyful celebrations, the feasting. And we feast at Christmas, we give to each other. And in fact, it's the time when the largest amount of charity giving is done in the United States. And if God inspired writers to commemorate an event which saved a whole people group, how much more so does God want us to celebrate the deliverance of all people on earth? That God wants to save everyone through his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants us to celebrate not only the birth of Jesus, but the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. That in Esther, the enemy was a man, a single man and his family, and some greedy attackers that joined in with them. But that God, through Jesus, brought about the defeat of the greatest enemy anywhere, sin and darkness and death. And I'd like to now read the portion of history we remember in celebration during this week, because we need to know the story of what we're celebrating this Christmas. Verse 4 in Luke chapter 2. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people," not just one people group. This is for everybody. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ." These are all the same words, just in different languages. "The Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I wanted to read that for us because we've been reading the history of Esther. And it was in a particular history, a certain place and time that we can get a glimpse in on, but we don't fully understand it. But this is our history as Christians. This is what we celebrate as Christians at Christmas. And this remembering that we do together during this time of year is holy, but it's also a subversive act against all the darkness and evil that still remains in the world. That we still celebrate the light that we know God has given in Christ. That there is hope. That even in the middle of winter, when things are most dark, that light is still coming forth. And it's found in Christ humbling himself to be born as a baby, which still blows my mind, through the bravery of a young Jewish woman named Mary, and through her betrothed, Joseph, who was also brave in deciding to stay with her, and through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. And it's because of all that we get to sit in America 2019 and joyously celebrate in feasting and giving that our great God wants us to remember this old, old story that's still being played out. The ending is still being written. He's bringing everything to wholeness and completion, but the question is, are we going to join him in it, or are we going to deny him his part in our lives? And we aren't Jewish, right? Well, we might be. You guys might have some Jewish heritage, but that makes our participation in this family celebration even more special, because we've been adopted into God's chosen people when we become believers of Jesus Christ. And these words that are written to the Jewish people in Esther ring true for our own remembrance of deliverance. Verse 27 in Esther chapter 9. The Jews took it on themselves to establish the custom that they and their descendants and all who joined them should without fail observe these 2 days every year in the way prescribed and at the time appointed. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation by every family and in every province and in every city. And these days of Purim should never fail to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of these days die out among their descendants. So Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter concerning Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews in the 127 provinces of Xerxes' kingdom, words of goodwill and assurance to establish these days of Purim at their designated times. I just thought about how we send out Christmas cards. That's like the only time of year that we're like, okay, we're going to send letters and cards to people. As Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had decreed for them, and as they had established for themselves and their descendants in regard to their times of fasting and lamentation, Esther's decree confirmed these regulations about Purim, and it was written down in the records. The records, the histories that people have written, hold a lot of things. We have a lot of history books. And though the ending of this story of Esther and Mordecai was good, there are many hard parts that we read together as a church family, weren't there? There were dark moments. There were scary moments in the book of Esther. Moments where we weren't quite sure what was going to happen. And we might even know that feeling ourselves in our own lives. If we're in the middle of something, perhaps that we don't know what's going to happen. Because sometimes remembering history can hurt. Because we remember all the hard parts. And some of it we might like to forget. But you'll notice that the book of Esther didn't leave out the hard parts. The Bible itself doesn't leave out the hard parts. And God still tells us to celebrate, to praise, to worship, even in the hard parts. Even out of the hard parts, not because we're going through the hard parts, but because we have a God who will deliver us from all
of the difficulty, the pain, and the hurt that comes from living in this world. And maybe we've had a hard year. Maybe this is the first Christmas we're spending without a loved one, or maybe Christmas just doesn't feel like it used to when we were kids. Or maybe we're afraid that things will never be like they used to be, that maybe we have some nostalgia, this aching for a return to home. But maybe as we enter this Christmas season, regardless of our current circumstances, regardless of how our marriages might be, regardless of how our finances might be, regardless of how family situations have turned bad, that regardless of all that, I hope that you and I can remember the story of Christ being born in the middle of darkness into a place where there wasn't even enough room for him to have an inn or a space in the inn. And I also hope we remember Esther and Mordecai, that even though things will never be like they were, they used to be for Esther and Mordecai, that God has provided something even better. And he promises to do that for us. And he will do that for us. God has provided the opportunity for us to join in something even better than the good old days. Even better. We get to join in celebrating that our God is now with us in all of it and will keep us into eternity. Because I don't know if you realize this, but even your good old days for someone else might not have been a good old day. God wants to bring all of us into reconciliation and restoration through Jesus. So I pray that as we look to the truly good days of establishing God's kingdom first in our hearts and then on this earth, I pray it's a kingdom that we've already tasted and felt. And our foundational truth this week, as I was just thinking about the way that Esther and Mordecai set up this celebration and the way that we set up celebration at Christmas time through what the New Testament has revealed to us, that we remember, celebrate, and give generously, all because Christ is born. That I love that, even though we as Christians don't celebrate Purim, the heart of God is still revealed in the celebrations that we do have together as Christians. And it's been his heart, the same heart all along, that he wants us to feast in him, to relax, to laugh and enjoy the presence of God, but also the people of God who we join together with. And in fact, we'd like to begin this Christmas week that we've been waiting for in this Advent season as the people of God by celebrating Christmas. Christmas comes from the word Christ's Mass. And Mass is simply a word that actually comes through Catholicism, but it was a word they said at the very end of Mass in the Latin that actually was Missa, like you're dismissed, or Missa, go out on mission. But it references communion. Christmas is Christ's communion. That's what it means. And so I always think it very fitting that we start off Christmas week by sharing in communion together as a family. Now, we do this because Christ commands it, and it's so that we will remember and then go out and live a life with him. And you don't have to be a member of this particular fellowship to take communion with us. The body of Christ is not divided by walls or denomination. We simply ask, as Paul directs in 1 Corinthians 11, that during the prayer, I will say, in a moment, that you examine yourself and only take part because you desire to draw near to God in truth and in spirit. And I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, as Jules and Andy come forward to serve. They'll use some sanitizer. But I'd like to read what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the bread. He gave thanks to God. And he said, "Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And I love the idea and the symbolism in the fact that we as Christians, especially here at Christmas, come together at the Lord's table, that he has provided a space and a place for us at the table, where anyone who believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're invited. You're invited to come and take part. And it's not just communion with God himself, but it's communion with each other. And that this is what we celebrate together every time we take communion, but especially here on Christmas, because it's the time when our Savior was born. So if you all bow your heads, I'd like to pray. Father Most High, we praise you and we glorify you this morning and we celebrate you because of all that you are. You are absolute love, Father, and perfect peace. And I pray this morning that that love and peace would just well up in us. That, Father, as we come together as your people, we would remember what you've done for us and let that spur us on in love and generosity towards others this week. That, Father, we wouldn't celebrate Christmas the way the world does in consumerism and, Father, in just looking to what we can get. Father, I pray we'd focus our eyes on you this Christmas season, that we'd celebrate you and celebrate the people around us, that the most valuable interactions that we do this season won't necessarily be receiving a gift or giving a gift, but loving the people, Father, who you have created in your image. Father, help us to be a people like Esther and Mordecai who don't give up hope in darkness, who trust so solidly in you that even when things are dark and they are hard, that, Father, we will be the people who remain steadfast in you and remember that we have a place at your table no matter what. We thank you for these elements, for this bread and this drink. We pray your Holy Spirit would be poured out, Father, in this place and that you would bless us, Father, with your goodness. Help us to grow up like you, Father. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.